Hello, everyone. This is Jamie DiPolo. I'm the senior editor here at breastcancer.org. And in this podcast, I am delighted to have Diana Dyer as our guest. Diana is a registered dietitian and a multiple-time cancer survivor. She was first diagnosed with breast cancer in 1984 at age 34, and then diagnosed with a second primary breast cancer in 1995 at age 45. She is the author of A Dietitian's Cancer Story and writes the website cancerrd.com, which offers nutrition information for cancer survivors. Diana also is a member of the breastcancer.org Professional Advisory Board, and she provided many expert insights when we were creating the nutrition section on the breastcancer.org website. Most recently, Diana and her husband Dick started the Diana Family Organic Farm in 2009 and were USDA Organic Certified in 2014. They plant more than 40 varieties of garlic on the farm, which is located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And today we're going to talk about something that I know everybody likes to talk about in December, which is eating and nutrition around the holidays. So Diana, welcome. Thank you so much for being a guest.
And thanks for having me.
That's great. So I know you have talked about nutrition with our guests, our visitors before in a couple of Ask the Expert podcasts, or not podcasts, Ask the Expert online conferences. But we thought we'd have you here for a podcast too, because as I said, this topic is hugely popular with people. And it always seems like everyone is doing great on eating healthy. And then December comes around and there are parties, there are gatherings, there are family coming in from out of town, and things sometimes go out the window. And so I guess, first of all, since we actually have a party to go to this week, parties usually mean a snack table, which is usually loaded down with stuff that is perhaps not so healthy, depending on who is throwing the party. Do you have any tips for people on how to sort of stay healthy and still have fun and not look like you're starving yourself?
Yes, this is all about, and thank you. You know, I mean, what a great sort of lead in, setting the stage for what we all are faced with. And believe me, it is not just the holidays. How does one define the holidays? It almost starts with Halloween.
Yeah, well,
and
yeah.
It keeps going because we live in this food environment in which there is food surrounding us all the time that we really need to be intentional about eating. And so it is about intentional selection as opposed to deprivation. And so I think that's my basis. And it is something that I use on a daily basis whenever I'm in a food situation where I need, you know, I'm making choices. So if I were walking into a party and I, you know, went to a lovely one yesterday afternoon, I don't go hungry. So, I try to have a little something that's going to take the edge off of an actual condition of hunger to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so then I think it's important, of course, for me and for all of us to remember, it's the people you're meeting that are really the most important, that you're socializing with, that you're sharing with, that are actually more important, more fun. It's what you're going, at least for me, you know, I'll speak for myself, it's what I'll remember more than the food. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's okay to not feel that you must please someone else by sampling one of everything. So it's be selective, really look at that buffet table first, make the rounds, just sort of like you make the rounds with the people. Don't just dive in and fill up your plate. Be, you know, very selective. And again, I think there's really nothing off limits, but portion control. Portion control is really where it's at. So savoring your food, not gobbling it, intentionally eating it and enjoying it, even remarking on it, talking about it, anything that sort of helps you sort of expand the experience.
Well, that brings up a point to me, because this happens to me all the time. I'll be at a social gathering and there's a food table and I happen to be talking to somebody and I'm trying to eat mindfully or intentionally, but because I'm talking and kind of mindlessly shoveling, as I'm, which sounds rude, but really I am polite and I chew with my mouth closed, but I get kind of caught up in the people and the events and I'm not really paying attention to what I eat. Do you have any tricks or tips, like how and maybe it's just me, but how I get so caught up in talking that I'm not paying attention to what I'm eating?
So actually, I think of you, or, you know, describing your situation as far more skilled than I am, because if I have a little plate and a napkin and a drink in my head, it's like I actually find that I have difficulty eating at all, you know.
Maybe that's the key. Maybe I have to have something in both hands so I can't eat.
And so I do end up actually often thinking, oh, so what happened yesterday is I took actually a good deal of what I had left on my little plate that I had chosen intentionally, you know, I took it home and shared it with my husband. And so actually I then ended up eating half of what I had intended, or even thought that I might, you know, at the party. Oh, it was all good. It was all beautiful. A lot of things were like flashbacks from my past that my mother even, you know, has always made for us and things like that. So it was really, it was fun. So.
Okay, that's a good idea. I'm going to fill up both hands and
yes.
not my mouth when I'm talking to people. Now I know another sort of trouble spot for a lot of people. We know that drinking alcohol, yes, increases the risk of a first-time breast cancer as well as the risk of recurrence. And drinking, if you have maybe a couple drinks, sometimes you can lose your focus on eating mindfully. It makes it much, the desserts look much more attractive when, yes, you've had a couple drinks.
And those portion sizes much smaller than they are.
Exactly. Yes. Yet so many holiday events, and actually almost any social event, always seem to revolve around alcohol. And sometimes it's hard for people who are hosting. They don't really know what to do with somebody who doesn't drink or, you know, chooses not to. You know, they may not have appropriate mixers or appropriate non-alcoholic things, or they don't have, you know, they have like a special punch and there's only punch glasses. And I remember I was at an event once and I just asked for some seltzer water and the people were so stymied, they just brought it out in a plastic cup. And I thought, well, you know, you could put it in a nice glass.
Yes.
But are there strategies or tactics that people can use if they choose not to drink alcohol around the holidays or really at any social event?
So I hear everything you're saying. And again, at this party I was at yesterday, they had made actually a lovely fruit juice punch, pear juice and pomegranate juice. It was delightful. It wasn't too sweet. And there was no alcohol in it. Mm-hmm. So that you could choose to add some or not. So that was an option that these hosts, you know, had already set up. And so in addition to wine and beer, and they had some mixed drinks also. What I actually like to serve or have available, you know, at parties is like sparkling water. Okay. And sometimes, you know, and I'll add, you know, beautiful little white wine glass, or, you know, so that it is lovely and festive, just even a few frozen raspberries, mm-hmm, you know, or something to make it pretty, to, you know, add some, you know, color to it, and even, of course, some extra fruit, you know, if you actually want to eat those at the bottom of your drink. So there are all kinds of options. There's flavored seltzer waters and sparkling waters. And again, I mean, the presentation is everything. And so the plastic cup, unless it was decorated, you know, that really sounds like, oh, yes, we were caught off guard, but right, it's so easy to make it easy for people. And in addition, there's, I would recommend, if there are people who are concerned that maybe they'll be in a situation where that's not available for them, to bring their own bottle of sparkling water. I mean, people think nothing of bringing a bottle of wine or a six-pack of beer to a party.
Sure.
Bring your own, something that you can drink that you feel comfortable and happy with. And again, you know, you're offering it to everyone, you, mm-hmm, know, too.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good, mm-hmm, point. Now, do you have a favorite mocktail recipe, I have to ask?
Well, I mean, it's really so simple, and it's just what I said, and it's not, probably doesn't even come under the category of mocktail, which is complicated. But I just love just, you know, like some San Pellegrino sparkling water with just some raspberries in it.
Okay.
I think there's nothing prettier and just nothing that feels better, you know, in my mouth.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, sure.
And like I said, you know, in just a beautiful white wine glass. Yeah.
Okay. And now you mentioned this too. A lot of people do advise to eat something before you go out to a party so you don't get tempted by anything that's perhaps not so healthy. Do you do the same thing if you're actually invited to a dinner party where you know there's going to be a meal?
When I'm invited to a dinner party, I mean, no, I don't eat ahead of time. But what I do do is probably avoid the appetizers. Yeah, everybody overeats at dinner parties. Everybody over prepares food. You know, I mean, there's just food in abundance for people. And again, it all really goes back to portion control, and sort of being very selective. I eat everything. I know people are sometimes cautious about inviting me to dinner parties. Like, I put the word out. I'm easy, actually, you know, but I will not have my plate overflowing, you know, and I would never, you know, it would be unusual if I went back for seconds or thirds, you know, I mean, for anything. But, you know, I'll sample little bits of everything because, again, you know, people are serving you out of love. Mm-hmm. And this, it's one meal. Mm-hmm. It's not your whole month or your whole lifestyle, you know, I mean, this is really... food is more than biochemistry. Mm-hmm. And so here's an occasion where perhaps, you know, I'm good. As I said, I'm easy.
Okay. Okay. That's good. I know, and sometimes with families too, as you said, food is more than just biochemistry. It becomes almost a, what do I want to say? Not rudeness, but it's just like, oh, you know, oh, please eat this. I made this all for you. You know, eat it. It's almost like you're, if you reject the food, you're rejecting the love or the caring. So, Yeah. So that's some, for me, that's when it gets more tough. It's like, no, really, I'm full. I can't eat anything else. But then people just like, oh, really, have, you know, more. I made this just for you. No one else likes it. Eat it.
Oh, well, hopefully you've already had some.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, it was delicious, and maybe you then can offer to take some home.
Yeah, I do come
with you, and then whether you eat it or not is, you know, only you know.
Right. A lot of take-home containers. Mm-hmm. Now, if someone is undergoing chemotherapy during the holidays, are there any foods that should be avoided, or are there any foods that you would recommend to sort of focus on just for health or healing? Mm-hmm.
First of all, every chemotherapy is different. Okay. In terms of how people respond, how the typical profile of how the drugs interfere with taste or smell or nausea, vomit, I mean, diarrhea, I mean, all kinds of things. So it's very difficult to generalize.
Okay.
But having said that, if chemotherapy is something that you're not tolerating well for any number of reasons. And as I said, there's a broad spectrum in how people tolerate chemo. There's a broad spectrum in terms of what this word means anymore, in terms of drug therapy for a cancer diagnosis. But if you are having nutritional side effects that impact your nutritional intake, particularly, I think I would suggest avoiding foods that are your favorite foods. Even though they are your favorite foods of all times or traditional, whatever. Because sometimes you can, your brain pairs associations, makes associations. And so it actually may perhaps spoil a favorite food for you for the future.
Mm,
and
see.
So it's whatever you can tolerate, mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, in that sense, holiday eating isn't different per se for healing purposes, for trying to minimize side effects, than any other cycle, whether it happens in the holidays or not. But just also, you know, keep in mind that there can be this association in your mind between what might happen if you happen to be eating something during a part of your cycle where you are may vomit, that may spoil that food for the future as one of your favorite foods. Okay. And just put it off. Wait till you're done and then have it again and have it be sort of something you look forward to.
Okay.
Or a celebration when you're done. Mm-hmm.
That's a good strategy. Yeah, because you certainly wouldn't want to have your favorite food ruined for you by chemotherapy. Okay,
yeah.
That's a good point. Now, I believe you've done this, but I just want to double check. Have you taken, I guess, sort of traditional holiday foods or family foods that may not be so healthy and made them healthier? I'm thinking of particularly like fried foods or things like that. Have you experimented in that way?
Oh, yes. And I think we're doing that all year long, you know, with foods as I'm always cooking and thinking about things. First of all, with almost every food, you can reduce the amount of sugar that's okay. in that recipe. And as a general rule of thumb, no matter what it is, I cut the sugar in half. Okay. And see what happens, you know, on that first time through with a recipe. And truly, most times, it's just fine. You know, and it tastes great, too. Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, where's the sugar? No, it still feels and tastes and looks like, you know, just everything that you're expecting. That's the first thing. Our family has all, for to go back to like a thinking specifically holidays and traditions and, you know, our family has always had on Christmas Eve a fondue meal. And we've actually never done the cheese fondue. We've just always done the oil and then frying foods in that and having, you know, 10, 20 sauces to dip them in and, you know, things like this. We've now added another fondue pot that is just broth. And so we're heating broth, like a vegetable broth, and then actually sort of like flash steaming, I suppose, you know, something, you know, some of our shrimp or our scallops or meats or even, you know, vegetables, things like that. And so we have some options that are lower in fat, and we still might have all the sauce, you know, all the sauces that, you know, are fun to dip food into. Mm-hmm. So that has worked fine. And so we're pretty happy with that and put that, that's now part of the you know, the, our holiday tradition.
Okay. Do you have a chocolate fondue? I have to ask.
We don't actually do that.
Okay.
And I would say this is our one big extravaganza with scallops and shrimp and chicken and beef and, you know, and we cook it all up and then, you know, we're still eating it all a week later, or we freeze it and, you know, freeze what we've cooked and, you know, and pull it out at different times, you know, throughout the year. But this is done with our children. Now they're adults. We started when they were 3 and I was still worried actually that, oh gosh, you know, are we going to like tip over this hot pot? You know, it taught our kids learned food fun and food safety and, intention, you know, pretty early, you know, with this. And now they're 30 and 31 and 37. And, you know, we're still doing this and still having fun and enjoy the tradition.
Oh, yeah, that's great. That's mm-hmm. great. Now, I think I read somewhere where you talk about certain dishes that you bring to, say, a potluck holiday party, because then you'll know you have something to eat.
Yes.
And I believe some of these recipes are on your website, but if you could just share a couple of those dishes with us.
Oh, thank you. You know, as when we were talking about bringing your own drinks, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, your sparkling water or juice, whatever you wish, you know, to a party, I was thinking the same thing. Everybody thinks it's perfectly normal to bring your own, to bring something, you know, to a potluck dinner or to a buffet. Mm-hmm. So I typically bring like a black bean and rice salad. Everybody knows, I mean, well, it's just something I know I'll eat. It's beautiful. You can add red peppers, green peas, I mean, all kinds of things to that. And it's beautiful, tasty. The dressing makes the salad and it's cold. You don't have to worry very much, about foodborne illness, with a dish like that. And another thing, I make three different kinds of hummus that some, well, traditional hummus from chickpeas, and then a hummus from carrots and a hummus from roasted beets. And, again, these are beautiful things that you can take. And I make some kale balls, little like kale, and, I mean, people can bring sausage balls, but I bring kale balls, that are absolutely gorgeous and delicious and are fun, and they add a lot. People enjoy them. And again, they are things that I feel perfectly comfortable eating. I know the ingredients. And all those recipes are either on my website, cancerrd.com, or they're on my blog, dianadyer.com.
Perfect. And then finally, I guess before we head out, what's besides the fondue, what's on your holiday menu this year?
Well, you mentioned in the lead off, of course, that we started an organic garlic farm. So of course there'll be garlic in multiple different dishes there. But to be perfectly honest, our big meal for the holidays is the Christmas Eve with fondue. And then on Christmas itself, we're actually fairly flexible. This year we'll be doing kit transfer. My younger son will be over on one part of the state, and just like when they were all in college, and it's like his in-laws will be driving them halfway. We'll be driving up halfway to
Gotcha.
make the transfer, that sort of thing. So we haven't planned that yet. And as far as what our Christmas meal will be. And the other aspect that we now, take into consideration, our family is larger. Both our sons are married, and everybody brings new traditions, things that they can't eat. We have one daughter-in-law who's a vegan and with food allergies, on top of that. And so it's like we take everybody's needs into consideration, so we're getting kind of down to the wire in terms of planning it, we'll get there. So
Okay. Well, that's good to know. And it's interesting too. As you said, your family's larger. You have one family member now who has a particular way of eating as well as some food allergies. But it doesn't sound like that's going to be any big deal. And I guess if we could leave folks with sort of a take-home message per se, it's that it really isn't a big deal. You can do this. You can eat healthy around the holidays, and if you have a couple things that maybe aren't so healthy, just enjoy them. And if you're going to eat them intentionally and really enjoy, like if it's a piece of chocolate or a piece of pie, appreciate all the love that went into that by the person who made it, and really make that's part of the special time of the holidays.
Yes, so I think that that's true. And we do say a food blessing before we eat, but and we have many different ones that we say, but our shortest one that I think encompasses all of them is just we thank all hands and all hearts who brought us this meal, every aspect of it, from the seed growers, to the farmers, to the people who got it to the food co-op, and then the people who actually bought that food, made it and brought it and shared it with us. There are a lot of hands and a lot of hearts and a lot of love that goes into that food. And so I think that's the important thing to remember.
That's a good take-home message. I like that. Diana, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll have you back, I don't know, very soon. I always enjoy talking food with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the invitation.